Doctors can appear superhuman. They've made it through the gauntlet of med school and residency. They make more money. Statistically, they're healthier. But there's a dark side to the profession that has been largely veiled, even from doctors themselves. They are far more likely to take their own lives. WPLN's Blake Farmer reports on burgeoning prevention efforts and larger calls to overhaul the profession.
Alarms go off so frequently in emergency rooms, doctors barely notice. And then a colleague is wheeled in on a gurney, clinging to life. And that alarm becomes a deafening wake-up call.
And it's just friggin', you know, it's just devastating. You know, this is a young, healthy person, has everything in the world ahead of them.
Kip Winger is still haunted. A young, confident doctor who worked with him in emergency rooms all over Knoxville died in one of those same ERs.
So she had multiple self-inflicted stab wounds, for lack of a better word.
One of the unavoidable dangers of being a doctor, you know exactly how to kill yourself and have the tools to do it.
And she got in a bathtub because she didn't want to make a mess. She wrapped herself in a blanket and she got a Bible and she wrote a note on the door saying to her best friend, if you come here, don't come in the door. Call Kip or call Peter. They'll know what to do. And that's how she checked out.
Kip Winger says she'd confided in him about some recent relationship struggles, but nothing had affected her work. And then she became part of the grim statistics. Female physicians are twice as likely as the general population to take their own lives. The suicide rate is about 50% higher for male physicians, and emergency doctors are some of the most at risk. This death in 2015 sparked some deep soul-searching at her employer, one of the largest ER staffing companies in the country. Lynn Massengill helped start Team Health, based in Knoxville.
A few of these things happened that were just so sobering. People don't stab themselves to death. Young people don't stab themselves to death.
It's been an uncomfortable topic to address. No patient wants to be cared for by someone having suicidal thoughts, and studies find disenchanted doctors are more likely to make mistakes. But Team Health held listening sessions and realized that burnout was rampant. To start, they began encouraging doctors to work less. Massengill says the company average is now close to 40 hours a week, though there's no avoiding nights and weekends in the ER. The company also started a new protocol for one of the most stressful times in a physician's career. When doctors are sued, they're paired with someone who's been there.
Now, we can't change the facts. We're not coaching you to change your memory, but we can help you deal with the stress of that.
And Team Health is trying to reduce some bureaucratic headaches. Some of the required corporate training has been deemed optional, and the company began spending millions of dollars a year to hire scribes.
All right, let's go talk to 14, Brandon, and let's go talk to 11, 14 and 11.
Jeff Zaroski drags an aspiring physician assistant from room to room at Knoxville's Park West, a suburban community hospital.
I'm going to be as gentle as I can. Does it hurt if I touch right here?
He gets to focus on the patient while his scribe types it all into the electronic health record.
43. Okay, so no postmenopausal.
Technology has become a real source of stress in a career that comes with lots to worry about, even beyond dealing with patients. Zaroski, who's an ER director, says he's concerned for his youngest docs who start out with a mountain of med school debt, eager to pick up as many shifts as possible.
I tell them, be balanced, don't overwork yourself, spend time with your family, stay married if you can.
Yet to some in the medical community, the problem is far more fundamental than burnout. Pam Weibel doesn't even like that term since it puts the burden on physicians, like they just have to find a way to cope. The family practitioner from Eugene, Oregon, sees it all starting in medical school. Entrenched ideals like muscling through long hours on little sleep are hard to break.
These people who have been previously abused are now the teachers. They're teaching the next generation of doctors.
And when physicians do want help, the industry makes it especially difficult. Weibel says they can't go to see a psychiatrist without jeopardizing their medical license.
Because I know a lot of them, they're having to sneak out of town, pay cash, and use a fake name to do it. And why are we putting these people in such a situation?
Weibel has collected more than 900 stories of doctor suicides and set up an anonymous helpline. She's inspired more physicians to share their experiences, like an emergency doctor licensed in Ohio.
You don't focus on the 99 you save, you end up focusing on the one that you lose.
The one he lost was 19 years old and came in with the flu. But tests didn't show anything unusual. He sent her home. She returned in cardiac arrest. When he found out she died, he went to a dark place, despite no history of depression.
You know, I guess Like all doctors, you put that Superman cape on and you think you can get through it.
The family filed a complaint, and being told he might lose his job pushed him over the edge. He swallowed a lethal overdose. But the police found him and got him to a hospital where he had to be revived. This ER doc had treated untold numbers of suicidal patients, but never saw himself in their place.
I didn't know that I was at higher risk for suicide than the average person.
We're not naming this doctor because his malpractice insurer is concerned about opening him up to more lawsuits. He says he wishes he could speak more freely, thinking it might encourage physicians to seek out help sooner than he did. For Nashville Public Radio, I'm Blake Farmer.